The following program is brought to you by TotalTheater.com and is on this radio station, but does not express the views of the management or anybody else at this radio station who's relatively sane. It's called Dave's Gone By. It's hosted by Dave Lefkowitz, and it starts right now.
Tropical hot dog night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Blare 76 trombones, get the 76ers to play the garden, feel the spirit of 76 as we begin this week's edition of Dave's Gone By, our 76th episode on WGBB AM 1240 and live streaming on AM1240WGBB.com, produced by Total Theater, brought to you by EasyMoney.com, better known as Berkshire Financial Group, for all your mortgage needs, and with thanks to our advertisers, Hewlett Minuteman Press, on Broadway in Hewlett, and the Tondra Grill, savory Indian food in Rockville Center. 2 weeks ago on the program, I had a great guest, Iris Dorbian, editor of Stage Directions magazine. Very animated, very knowledgeable, we talked about the theater. I'm a theater critic, and like her, I've been running around the past few weeks catching a bunch of Broadway and off-Broadway shows because it's awards time. The Outer Critic Circle Award winners were announced last week, the Drama Desk Awards happen next week, so do the Obies, and you've got the Tonys closing the season on June 6th. So, a whole bunch of shows crowd into theaters just in time to be considered for these awards. If they opened a week later, they have to wait a whole year to be considered for the next Tonys in 2005. Anyway, Iris and I talked about Avenue Q and Fiddler on the Roof and 16 Wounded, but that's really the tip of the iceberg just for April and May, let alone the whole 2003-2004 season. So tonight, I'm dipping into the theater well again with another good friend of the program. He first joined us on our 18th show back on February 2nd, 2003, and he was a guest two other times after that. Last time was almost exactly a year ago, again around Tony time. He is always lively and opinionated and zany, yet still deferential and obsequious, Jeff Goodman, joining us on the Dave's Gone Cultural segment of this program to talk about the Tony nominations, the best and worst of the year, plus Assassins and Bombay Dreams and Primate. If you've heard anything about the content of that last show, I'm sure you don't want to miss what Jeff has to say about it. And I hope you won't want to miss what I have to say about current events, the news of the day, in our weekly segment, The News Gone By. Yes, that will be part of the program, too. And we'll also pay tribute to a fine comedian of the old school, Alan King, who passed away this past weekend. Lots to do on this Dave's Gone By, and I'm the man to do it! You know why? Because I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist. And this is my show, and welcome to it. Young and old, although if you're too young, your parents might want to monitor your headphones a little. That's because this program is rated DGB-13, our version of PG-13. So if the FCC is looking for a raunchy, scatological, evening zoo kind of program to enrich its coffers, I'm afraid they'd better look elsewhere. But at the same time, not everything here is kid-friendly, so use what's left of your judgment, which has to be impaired since you're listening in the first place. If you want your kids to listen, that's fine. If you don't want your kids to listen, that's okay, too. I'll find another way to make them turn against you. But don't turn against me on this Thursday, May 13th, 2004, the heart of spring, within striking distance of summer, a time when young men's fancies turn to lawnmowers and aluminum siding and softball fields and naked Muslim pyramids. Yes, turns out Americans have the same pastimes as the very countries we're trying to liberate. You put us in a place where we don't belong, where we're not welcome, and where we can't tell the Allies from the enemies without a weapons check, and you're gonna get incidents like Abu Ghraib and worse. When you come into a country, the conquering hero, and you don't leave, the longer you stay, the more tangled things get. Certainly, I am not the first pundit to point out that we have lost more soldiers since we won the war than when we were fighting it. And the relentless heat, the boredom, the sense that things are changing over too slowly, the continued roadside bombings and resistance, the lack of any timetables for finishing the job and getting out, and still, to some extent, the desire for payback for 9/11. These are exactly the kinds of things that turn nice, decent young men and women into giddy sadists. Everybody looked aghast at that woman and her buddies when they stripped the prisoners and made them play turban-free Twister. And yes, this was a unique incident, hopefully, and doesn't speak for the behavior of the thousands of honorable soldiers we have over there. Just as one prays to God, the actions of al-Zarqawi go further than the sadistic tendencies of other Muslim extremists, although I have my doubts. But at the same time, I hope we don't pigeonhole the American offenders too quickly. This Jeremy Sivitz and Charles Grainger and, of course, Lindy England, who I'm sure will be posing for Hustler at some point, you know they're going to be isolated as bad apples, court-martialed, made an example of, distanced from the administration and military policy, so we don't have to think too hard about how they went from being the best and brightest to the worst and weirdest. But you know what? Go to any convenience store or 7-Eleven after 10 o'clock at night and take a look at the 16, 17, 18-year-olds hanging out with nothing to do. They smoke, they drink, they annoy and insult the foreigners behind the counter. Imagine them after a six-pack and a hit of ecstasy, and you know these losers would make the Abu Ghraib gang look like the Peace Corps. Now, I've quoted this line before. It's from Hannah and her sisters, by way of Primo Levi, and it's the explanation of the Eastern European Holocaust, with Levi saying the shock is not that it happened, but that it doesn't happen more often. Maybe we've just seen the tip of the iceberg of what's going on over there. I mean, how many torturers document their playtime with digital cameras? But the miracle is that it doesn't happen every time a soldier gets to control the same people he was just shooting at. So Donald Rumsfeld and President Bush are taking the heat for this international disgrace, and while the buck does stop there, you cannot directly blame them for what happened, only for the circumstances that brought us to the point of serving as twisted beekeepers to an increasingly irate hive. Still, I think what freaked people out the most were the smiles. Lindy and the other troops grinning and laughing, engaging more in emotional humiliation than physical torture. And apparently there's still more photographs and video footage to come. In fact, they even wrote a song to go with some of the demented games they were playing. I don't have a tape of that, but I do have the lyrics. Apparently, they would line the Iraqi prisoners up in the courtyard, naked, in the hot sun, and have them do their daily exercises to this little ditty. It's the Abu Ghraib Hokey Pokey. I'm just going to sing a verse or two. You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your ass at Muhammad and you shake it all about, you do the Abu Ghraib and you turn yourself around, that's what it's all about. You take your clothing off, you stick your penis out, you make the dog leash long and you crawl and crawl about, you do the Abu Ghraib and you're not allowed to shout, that's what it's all about. One more, you pull the black hood on, you hold the wires out, if you fall off the box, you'll be dead without a doubt, you do the Abu Ghraib thanks to Halle Burton's clout, that's what it's all, that's what it's all, that's what it's all about. We'll be back with more of Dave's Gone By right after this. Okay, folks, you've all seen the news. The economy's picking up, but inflation's also starting to rise, and we've seen the bottoming out of interest rates. If you've been waiting for the last minute to buy that house, refinance that mortgage, or lock in that home equity loan, this is the last minute. In fact, it's past the last minute. The last minute was a minute ago. But it's not too late. Not if you have Berkshire Financial Group on your side. At Berkshire Financial, it's all about customer service. It's all about caring for the client. And they do it by meeting your financial needs. Berkshire Financial Group is a licensed mortgage banker in New York State, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut banking departments. If you go to their website, easymoney.com, you can read their mission statement. Yes, they mentioned having competitive rates and up-to-date technology, but the president of the company also stresses in the last paragraph, quote, "We have instilled a sense of integrity and loyalty in our staff. That's what makes Berkshire different from all the other bankers. It's why you should contact them instead of some too-good-to-be-true TV offer or some newspaper ad that has fine print you can't read without a microscope. Berkshire Financial gives you the rates, the care, and the quality. Log on to their website, easymoney.com, and see what they can do for you, whether it's home improvements, mortgage reductions, or buying your first condo. You can even pop some numbers into their mortgage calculator and see for yourself what Berkshire Financial Group can do for you. They have a toll-free number, 866-500-5055. That's 866-500-5055. Visit their Staten Island office and mention Dave's Gone By for a cute free gift. Not a free mortgage, just a pen or a bag or something, but something cute. 866-500-5055. Berkshire Financial Group, putting your needs first. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, sponsored by Berkshire Financial Group. Find them at easymoney.com, and you'll find me on AM 1240 WGBB on this Thursday, May 13th. Time for the news gone by, a look at events of the past week from an Abu Ghraibi perspective. In war news, well, Arabs called it the big payback a week after photos came to light of really despicable behavior by American soldiers and contractors over prisoners in Iraq. Terrorists there grabbed a civilian. A really stupid civilian. A civilian with a Jewish last name hoping to find work in that politically stable and thoroughly westernized vacation spot called Baghdad. A civilian who should have listened to all the people running the hell out while he was staying in. He didn't listen, so the terrorists decided to have his ears checked, and they figured the easiest way to do that was to remove his head right along with them. Just to make sure America understood the tit-for-tat quality of Nicholas Berg's murder, the decapitation was shown on videotape, which was titled, quote, "Abu Musab al-Zarqawi shown slaughtering an American," unquote. Actually, that's a rough translation out of context. In fact, the video was merely a segment on a new Al Jazeera reality show, their own version of The Swan. It's called Facelifts All the Way Off. Back on the home front, terrible story out of Philadelphia where John Whitehead, a very well-known R&B artist, was shot dead by unknown gunmen. Whitehead started his career as part of the group The Epsilons, who were then discovered by and toured with Otis Redding. On his own, Whitehead was best known for his 1979 hit Ain't No Stoppin' Us Now, as well as the songs Bad Luck, Where Are All My Friends, and Cold, Cold World. Irony abounds. Also on the scene was a friend of Whitehead's. He's in good condition after being shot in the buttocks. He said ordinarily he wouldn't stand for this kind of attack, but right now he can't sit for it either. On the lighter side of violence, a sports story of sorts. Milwaukee native Mandy Block is retiring from her job, but not before becoming the most famous person to do her job. Name not ringing a bell? Well, perhaps her courage will. Mandy was the woman who, on a fateful day last July, participated in a promotional sausage race during a Brewers game. That's right, she was the one wearing the sausage costume when Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman Randall Simon bopped her on the head with a baseball bat. This caused her to fall over and basically be humiliated on national television, especially when a second sausage, Veronica Chandler, tripped over her and they both lay sprawling. Neither had to be hospitalized, although both were so dedicated to their jobs, they stayed in character as hot dogs and spent the night standing and soaking their feet in a bucket of yellow water. In business news, remember all those efforts Rudy Giuliani made to clean up Times Square, from his ludicrous attacks on museums and topless bars to his somewhat reasonable demand that X-rated video stores at least carry some non-sexual films to put in their front windows? Well, it's been a bizarre week, what with Rudy coming out in defense of Howard Stern, hear, hear, and Rudy's beloved Times Square getting a bizarre and really adorable billboard from Swatch Watch. Have you seen it? It shows off their new line of Bunny Sutra watches, which feature these cute little drawings of rabbits in graphic sexual positions. I mean, there's no genitalia, but there's also no question what these rabbits are doing. According to a Swatch press release, the watch also features the company's new touch technology. When you touch the watch, the hands land on, quote, happy bunny positions. Not surprisingly, reactions from New Yorkers and tourists have been mixed, with many disgusted by the inappropriate sexuality on display, no matter how endearingly rendered. Other folks find it funny and playful. The creepy thing is that the ad was posted 3 days ago on the corner of West 45th Street with six pairs of bunnies on it. By this morning, there were 200 pairs of bunnies stretching all the way to Columbus Avenue. Also in animal news, this one from Reuters, I can read this almost verbatim. It's that good. The headline, Man Fatally Bitten by Sexually Aroused Horse. From Warsaw, Reuters reports that a sexually excited stallion bit a Polish man to death when he tried to calm the beast, which had become uncontrollably aroused by a nearby mare. The horse went wild and began straining and bucking while pulling a farm cart through the village. An autopsy would determine whether the cause of the man's death was a severed jugular vein or damaged spine, unquote. The really tragic part is that the Polish man nearly had the animal under his control, but alas, he lost precious time putting on his condom first. Well, I see Poland, I see France, and authorities saw a gendarme in his underpants. A French policeman was taken to court last week after he was caught driving under the influence and wearing nothing more than a pair of fishnet stockings. The cop admitted he was also a part-time transvestite prostitute, making extra money on the outskirts of Paris. The courts are going easy on him, charging him only with drunk driving but not soliciting. That would have been pretty serious, especially in current times, since he was caught wearing weapons of mesh distraction. And speaking of offensive weaponry, we continue our joint across Europe with a stop in Germany, where 1,200 students had to be evacuated from a high school in Gütersloh. It all happened because one 17-year-old who, for no particular reason, got to wondering what would occur if he spritzed the inside of his locker with pepper spray. He tried it, locked the door, and walked away. By mid-afternoon, dozens of students had come down with nausea and breathing problems, forcing the school to close for the rest of the afternoon. The remaining contents of the canister were set off in the school cafeteria kitchen, where school officials assumed the smell would hardly be noticed. And that's the news gone by for May 13th, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and Bunny Sutra watches to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. And if you want to hear older versions of the News Gone By, remember that they are now available on CD and audio cassette. They're lots of fun if you like books on tape, if you're planning a long drive over the summer, or need some fun airplane listening. You really can't go wrong with a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By. $12 for cassettes, $14 for CDs, postage included. And if you add an extra dollar, I'll personally autograph the cover. www.davesgoneby.com is the website for all that information. It's been down today. I'm not sure why, but keep checking on it. davesgoneby.com. And any information you want to tell me, just send me an email, davesgoneby@aol.com. We reserve the right to read any comments you make on the air, name withheld upon request. So send me suggestions, positive feedback, negative impressions, whatever you feel. But please, no sexually aroused horses. You'll only stir up trouble. Back with Jeff Goodman after this.
Oh my God, the wedding is next month. We need flyers, invitations, booklets. Irving, we are screwed.
No, we're not, Pearl. We'll just go to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Hewlett Minuteman? What can they do?
Printing, engraving.
Really?
Letterhead, souvenirs.
Wonderful. Are they still at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett?
Yup, 516-569-5577.
Well, stop dawdling. Let's go.
Yes, dear. day after the wedding, I kill her.
And now, the GBB Weekend Medley. Long Island's dating, Friday, 6 o'clock. Bonnie D. Graham with lots of singles talk. She takes her phone calls and interviews her guests. Long Island's dating, 'cause Bonnie is the best. Red Man Music Show, Mr. Red Man Music Show. 7:30 Saturday night, independent music makes you feel alright. On the Red Man Music Show, is the place where you should go. Sundays at 7, make sure that you are home. For fast-paced right-wing politics, your world with Joe Sal's own. He tries to keep an open mind and sort out what is true. If you like a good debate, then Joe Sal's own's for you. Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6, Red Man, Saturdays at 7:30, and Joe Sal's own, Sundays at 7, make it music to your ears. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Time for Dave's Got Guests, the segment we have almost every other week on this program, and one special guest this particular week. He has been on the program three other times, so it should tell you just, you know, what I think of him and his skills as an interview guest and as just a good friend, and also a theater critic, which is what he is. He is a syndicated columnist who writes about the theater, and he's also on Manhattan Cable Television. Every other week they have a new show, and then the other weeks they have a repeat, something like that. He'll tell you about it. His name is Jeff Goodman, and he is here with me in the Daverhood. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. Now, Dave's Got Goodman.
Dave's Got Goodman. I'm very happy to have you as a guest again.
Always happy to be here.
So, and you're on the show, Two on the Isle, on Manhattan Cable.
Right, with myself and Charles Gross.
Charles Gross is the co-host, and it's been on for how many years?
Oh, God knows. I think it's like 12 years or something.
Is it really?
It's like forever. I think we started in the 80s, the late 80s.
And remind people the kind of show that it is.
Oh, it's a Siskel and Ebert type show that we review theater. Mm-hmm. Occasionally we have some guests. We don't have as good guests as you do, though, Dave.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to tell people later. I've got knock wood. You hear that wood knocking?
I hear
a very big guest coming up in about 2 weeks. So it's like, woo. I'm going to find out today for sure.
Who is it?
No, most famous person we've had on here, so it'll be pretty fun.
More famous than me?
Just slightly.
Okay.
Just slightly. And even about as Jewish, but it's hard to tell. Jeff, let's talk theater. We actually have just about a half hour to do this, and which sounds like a whole lot of time.
To cover the whole theater
season. Once we get through the season, that's it. This was, last week, was the end of the theater season, the 2003-04 season on and off Broadway, and the Tonys are coming up on June 6th, and now all these other awards are happening, and the Outer Critics Circles were announced, and all that kind of thing. So,
and the deadline for voting was last night, I believe.
For the Tony voters around?
No, for Drama Desk.
Tonight. You can vote online. I know, because I'm a member. You can
tonight, that's right.
Thursday night. Thanks for reminding me. Yikes.
Don't forget to vote.
Anyway, you have in front of you the list of Tony nominations. So I want to go through them just a little bit to see what your thoughts are. Like, for Best Play, the nominees are Anna in the Tropics, Frozen, I Am My Own Wife, and The Retreat from Moscow. Any thoughts on what they choose and what you would choose?
I thought that Retreat from Moscow was an odd pick, since I didn't think it was a particularly good play.
Agreed.
It was rather boring.
Mm-hmm.
Well acted, but boring.
Yeah, Ben Chaplin was very, very good in that. And then what about the other pieces?
And in the Tropics, I did like, contrary to most people.
Okay.
And Frozen and I Am My Own Wife are certainly good picks.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
like
that's what it's going to be between. Yeah.
Golda's Balcony should be up there. That's a very good play.
Golda's Balcony. Oh, yeah, that's
it
true.
It wasn't on Broadway.
That's right. I was going to say.
Because
last year it was nominated for a Drama Desk.
Right. But this is the Tony we're talking about. So, okay. Musical. And I think it's been a surprisingly good year, all told. I mean, there haven't been many. But the ones they've had, Avenue Q, Carolina Change, Wicked, and The Boy from Oz are the four nominees, of which three are certainly worthy nominees for my money. I don't care who wins, Avenue Q or Wicked. Either one, I would be very happy.
Right.
What about you?
I wouldn't even be upset if Carolina Change won. I don't think it will, because it's not an Up With People musical.
Right.
It's a different type of musical, and I think it's fairly groundbreaking. Of course, it's a musical where the heroine is not really likable.
Well, I think we've had those. They just haven't been hits, you know. I have to think in terms of it, but there must be. I mean, like one of those old Chita Rivera things or Pal Joey or something like that.
But I thought this was well done, and it told a great story.
Look at Gypsy.
But you like Rose.
Yeah, in her well. Well, you end up with understanding Carolyn, sort of. She's still kind of doer. Yeah.
I don't know. I actually, what's his name? Fosca. Who was the play about Fosca?
Oh, there you go. There's some kind of musical passion.
Because she wasn't real, but that still had different. It had songs and stuff. This is more operatic.
Cool. All right. Let's go over to the plays.
Okay.
By the way, one thing
on the musical. I was kind of upset because I think they should have put Bombay Dreams in.
Boy from Oz?
Well, they gave him five slots.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't put a fifth slot in. I thought that Bombay Dreams is a good musical.
We're going to talk about Bombay Dreams at the end of the second.
Okay, great.
Yeah, okay. I think we'll differ a little bit on it.
Okay.
Let's just get to the other two biggies. The revival of a play, which is Henry IV, Chumpers, the Tom Stoppard piece, King Lear, which was written by, I forget the author, and Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. Any thoughts?
I thought they were fairly good choices. I think that, I mean, what else would you have nominated?
I don't even remember what other shows or revivals they had on. But, well, 20th Century was cute. Sly Fox was, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, Sly Fox. That's right. Sly Fox should have been in there.
Chumpers was a very good revival of a very bad play.
Over King Lear, I think.
Yeah,
even though Christopher Plummer was good, but King Lear's King Lear, and it wasn't done.
I don't think Plummer was all that interesting.
I thought he was good, but I didn't think it was done in any intricate way.
Yeah. Henry IV was a good version.
Because they combined two plays, and they basically condensed and rewrote it.
And the first 2 hours were still confusing and boring, but it was really well done.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with those history plays until people start killing each other. Mm-hmm. You know? Revival of a musical. This gets kind of cool. Assassins, Big River, Fiddler on the Roof, Wonderful Town.
There was one thing missing in that.
Remind me.
A Little Shop on the Lower East Side.
That's interesting that they left that one out.
That I thought was, I think that was far and away better than Fiddler. I thought it was, you know, I think the main problem with that is that the revival was so close to the original they didn't want to nominate it. But the problem is that the original was like the perfect production of it.
A Little Shop. Well, it was off-Broadway. I mean, it's
not even
actually, how can they call that a revival and Assassins are now revivals? I guess they've changed the rules.
Yeah.
Because those shows were never on Broadway to begin with. Well, anyway.
Well, I think it started a couple of years ago when Hamlet was up because Hamlet had never been up for Tony.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess. But Hamlet would have been done on Broadway.
Yes.
So,
but it was never done.
Oh, how strange!
Since the Tonys,
how totally strange! Why don't we go to where's the score? Let's just talk about that because I know we're getting into musicals. You've got Taboo, which has a score by the one and only George O'Dowd, aka Boy George. Avenue Q by Roberto Lopez, but it's Robert Lopez and Jeff Marx. Wicked by Stephen Schwartz and Carolina Change by Janine Tesori with Tony Kushner helping on the lyrics. So, if musically, just musically,
I think Wicked, far and away, has the best score.
That far away better than Avenue Q, you think?
Yeah. Avenue Q is simple music. Mm. It's clever.
Yeah.
But it's simple. Now, it's funny because I hate to bring up Drama Desk again, but Drama Desk separates music from lyrics. And in Drama Desk, my vote, and I'll tell you what it was.
Go for it.
I gave Stephen Schwartz music,
and you gave
Avenue Q lyrics because I think the lyrics were, they progress the story, they do everything, whereas the lyrics in Wicked don't really progress as much.
Okay, Luke, I've got one more category of the Tonys, and then I think we'll start talking about some of the other shows very directly. Because this is really like the strongest category of anyhow in years.
Oh wait, let me guess. Is this Best Actress in a Musical?
Why don't you run them down? I think you've got the list in front of you. Leading Actress in a Musical.
Well, we have Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel from Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie D'Abruzzo from Avenue
Q.
D'Abruzzo, sorry, Stephanie. Yeah. I'm another good Italiana. and Donna Murphy from Wonderful Town, and Tanya Pinkins
from Carolina. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about Tanya Pinkins, the last time she was nominated and won for...
When was it? Was Broadway thing? Was it?
Yeah, it was Gregory Hines.
Jelly's Last Jam?
Yeah, because remember, that she was like, they were going to give it to her before they nominated her because there was no other leading actress to nominate.
Oh, I think I remember that.
And now she's like one of five who could win it.
And she could get it if the Wicked twosome split. Because they were both so superb.
Or Stephanie DeBruzzo.
I love Stephanie DeBruzzo on Avenue Q.
She's great, though. She was my favorite in Avenue Q. My favorite was
Gary Coleman.
My little Gary Coleman.
She was awesome.
And by the way, she should have gotten a supporting actress nominee, too.
But if you were going to vote as a Tony voter of these five women.
Oh, my God.
I know.
This is probably the hardest thing, but I think... I don't know. I keep going back. I would vote Idina Menzel over Chenoweth.
I think she had a little more heart. Plus the singing was phenomenal. Yeah.
Tanya Pinkins, I'd say, okay, she got her Tony, so I'm not going to vote for her.
Yeah.
And although Donna Murphy won too, I thought she was great in Wonderful Town. She is Wonderful Town. Well, that and I think her co-star too.
I would split this one four ways. Tanya, I think she could find a little more coloration in Caroline. I think she's just so relentlessly like...
Yeah.
But the other four, every single one of them is spectacular.
Jeffy,
this part has been cool. But I want to talk a little more specifically about some of the shows that have opened towards the end of the season.
Okay.
So why don't we start with a show that I think you kind of like.
More than liked. I love Disaster.
Why didn't you like Assassins?
I loved Assassins.
Yeah, why?
Why did I?
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant musical. Mm-hmm. I think it's a musical that makes kind of a topic that you shouldn't really be listening to and musically about.
Okay.
It makes it an enjoyable musical. I know that you don't want to sit through it.
Well, no, I should tell everybody, I'm kind of phobic about gunshots. I just don't like loud, startling noises. And I think they do that about 15 times in a
second. Oh, my God, a lot.
Right up to including the final moment, you know, when they're all, every single one fires at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think I can live without it.
But my goal is actually to bring you to Assassins.
Yeah, well.
Because it's done so wonderfully. It's staged like a shooting gallery.
Uh-huh.
And they don't only put the actual assassins in, but all the attempted assassins in the show.
Right. Cool. One of your favorite moments had to do with a funny moment, actually.
Oh, my God. Well, that's what I think is so brilliant about. They can make this whole horrible topic very light.
Everybody's got the right to be happy. Don't be mad, life's not as bad as it seems. If you keep your goal in sight, you can climb to any height. Everybody's got the right to their dreams.
Everybody's got the right to be different.
If you want to be.
Even though at times they go to extremes,
anybody can prevail.
Everybody's free to fail. No one can be put in jail for their dreams. Free country
means that you've got the choice. Be a scholar, make a dollar.
Free country
means that you get a voice.
Scream and holler.
Grab him by the collar.
Free country
means you get to connect.
That's it.
Means the right to expect that you'll have an effect. That you're gonna protect. Connect. 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 Everybody's got the right to some sunshine.
Rich man, poor man, black or white, everybody gets a bite. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. And that's Stephen Sondheim's brilliance. He can make serious about anything and funny about anything, because I think he's very intuitive about a lot of stuff. But
a little credit to Jerome Weidman, who didn't he write the book?
Yes. That's true. Yeah. Although everything it just all goes to Stephen. We all have that little.
By the way, I want not to apologize, but tell everybody your voice is a little shot today.
Oh yeah.
You have a bit of a cold, or what?
I've been getting over my annual theater cold.
Is it, you blame it on the theater?
Yes, of
course. Your spring theater cold.
Because for the last couple of weeks, about 4 or 5 weeks, I've been seeing 3 or 4 shows a week,
mm-hmm.
and getting involved with a lot of people, and someone always gives me a germ at the end of the season.
Hopefully just indirectly, but...
indirectly.
Okay, back to
the
funny moment.
The funny moment in Assassins, excuse me, is Sarah Jane Moore, who's the second attempted assassin of Gerald Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And basically...
You know, for a clumsy guy, he evaded 2 different assassins. He's not so clumsy, you know?
Yeah, well, he's clumsy in the show.
Reagan couldn't avoid one, you know.
Well, yeah, Reagan just got minorly hit by him.
Yeah. But Ford didn't get any. He fell. He fell and missed the bullet.
Well, actually, Sarah Jane Moore, I don't think, could get off a shot.
Oh.
Which is the point of her thing.
Yeah.
And then I think Squeaky Fromm misfired.
Right.
It was like they were too disastrous. And Sarah Jane Moore is like this wannabe something. Her life is totally loser. And she never succeeded at anything, so why she thought she was going to do this, and why she did it was beyond me.
Now, can I ask you, did you see the original Assassin when it was playing off? You did not?
No, I did not.
Okay. And so this was, though, a major recommendation on your part for the show.
Oh, it is so well staged.
I know I should
and
see
so,
it.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe when it closes and they have it at Lincoln Center, I'll watch the tape or something, you know, that be the really sneaky.
I'll hold your hand. I'll make
I'm
sure
not
you don't fight.
Hold my ears. That's another thing. My hand I don't need.
You know when they're going to fire the shot.
Every single time. I think the first shot is off stage anyway. But isn't it? Isn't it when they go McKinley?
They shot. No, McKinley's on. Well, no, because he's on stage and he shoots and McKinley's off stage.
Oh, okay.
But there are a lot of shots. But you know what it is? I think it also, there's so many that it numbs you to
After
the
After a while, maybe. You're just sort of, although, you know, don't want to stay on this topic, but I remember forcing myself to see the Kentucky Cycle, because that was playing around the same time Angels in America was,
right.
And it was kind of between the two of them. And Kentucky Cycle was a very good play, very long, 3.5 hour, twice, you know, 8 different one acts and put together. Very
I thought good, that was a brilliant
violent
play.
History of America. But my God, I was sitting there like, is it going to happen now? Is Stacey Kitch going to fire the... No, not that. No, yeah.
But there's so many gunshots on Broadway, and some of them really make me jump. I don't know how you...
I know. I mean, some of the sound designs. I mean, I love Golda's Balcony. I think it's brilliant. But especially when I started Broadway and I started
fighting
them. I was like, jeeps! Yeah. I almost used a word that the FCC would have hurt me for, but I'm not going to.
No, don't do that.
No, will not.
But I think that even you can sit through Assassins. If you sat through all the other stuff.
Yeah, but I'm older and my ticker's a little weaker, perhaps.
No.
And my bladder, too.
I'll get you the adult diapers.
Really? What?
I'll get you.
Then I'll go.
It just depends.
I'm not speaking of adult diapers. That has nothing to do with anything. Let's go on to a show that we mentioned a little while ago called Bombay Dreams. This one we both saw. It did not get nominated for a Best Musical Tony, which means it's going to have a very difficult time staying open
the
next couple of weeks, or certainly through the summer. And produced by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Although I think it's going to get foreign tourists. I think it's going to do well in group sales with the foreign tourists.
If it can, remember, Mamma Mia, which is the same kind of piece of crap.
Yeah.
But very popular. It was a Tony winner, of all things. I think it won a Tony that year. God help us.
No, it didn't win Tony for Best Musical.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
I think it was up against the producers, wasn't it?
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was the year before or after. It was certainly nominated.
It was nominated, but I don't, you know... That's why I was hoping for Bombay Dreams, really, because I don't think it's terrible. It's based on the production of a Bollywood movie, which is India's Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And all the movies are, I mean, there's so few people, I think, in the United States who've seen Bollywood movies. I actually have.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces when I was a kid watching Channel 47 on Sunday morning, Saturday mm-hmm. mornings, they'd show the musical clips before MTV. And they were fun, and I kind of like the sparringness of the music.
Right, but also the stories are so whacked. It's always a boy or a girl from the slums makes good, meets a boy or a girl, a man or a woman who's very wealthy. And then, of course, the person who is very wealthy is always the evil person. I mean, they're very, very, it's like...
And you don't think people are appreciating, or critics are appreciating, how the book, which has been maligned for the musical, is really actually trying to ape... in a funny
Absolutely.
Way, the stories. They're just not getting the fact that they have to put all that... Like,
you know, and I say, yeah, they shouldn't really say that. But then, on the other hand, I think, trying to be fair, well, do we really have to know what a Bollywood movie is to enjoy, the
I think
Bombay
it's just
dreams.
A wittier script and
but
more
I think,
believable.
And I also think they alluded to it in the show a couple of times. They did have little things like, in every Bollywood movie this happens. And
which is cute, but I think they blew it right at the beginning. They have a narrator. You know, him, I mean, the hero is also narrating.
Right.
And it's very confusing, because he's saying, we're going to watch a Bombay movie now. And, you know, he tells us that, okay, now this is a whole Bombay, and then it starts to be his story. And we're not really sure if we're watching a movie of his story, or just a movie. And if you have a narrator, he might as well be clear.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
Well, that was probably in the revised version. I didn't see this in London. But I could.
No, I'm talking like 3 weeks ago.
I know, I'm just saying. But but they revised the book for
with Thomas Meehan, the producer's guy, the reviser. What did you think of the music?
The music I thought was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very simplistic. It's just like a Bollywood music. I mean, I thought I'd hate Shaka Laka Baby because it's like the same lyrics.
But the number was very was pretty cool.
And they always
sorry number.
They always have in all Bollywood films they pretty much always have this water number, which is a lot of dancing, and it's very much evokes like the 30s or 40s musicals, the movie musicals of the 30s and 40s. And they always had that top shot, which is famous from Busby Berkeley's top shot. And they're always slow motion. There's water driplets. You know, you just see it all. And they're always twirling.
I'm surprised they missed that element of it, too, that it's not supposed to be... I mean, the movies, musicals of the 30s and 40s were not brilliant plots. And that. They were just fun, but I do also understand that Bombay is not as good as it could have been. It should have been more special, and I should have given a crap, you know?
But what do you think of that versus The Boy from Oz? Did you really...
Better than The Boy from Oz.
Yeah.
I should say, I thought the first 15 minutes of The Boy from Oz was really good. When it starts with the story, and the kid playing him, and his family, as soon as he meets Judy and then Liza, even though two good actresses, and potentially really interesting material, something happened. Liza got her big TV number.
You know what happened?
I was out of it.
I'll tell you what happened, is I believe they candy-coated the Liza and Judy parts, because Liza's the only person who's alive to look at this show.
And even that is questionable. No.
David, please. Geffen. But,
Guess.
I'm sorry, David.
Geffen, too. I mean, considering the types of people she marries. But he may be next at the
moment. Don't make me cough.
Yes, okay. Don't have the... Oh, God, we don't have much time.
Oh, I'm
I need
sorry.
To get to, like... Primate, which closed, so people, you cannot see this. It closed.
It's probably better off for you.
And there was no Tony nomination.
It actually was the show that closed, not quickest, but so quietly on Broadway. They closed it on Saturday and announced it on Monday after the Tony nomination, which makes you wonder, if they got a nomination, would they not have been closed?
Yeah, they would have run it at least a week to see what if. If they had gotten a nomination, it probably would have been for Andre the Shields playing the ape.
Right.
And if he did, then they would say, oh, maybe he'll bring in or the Tony nomination. It'll be worth running another week or two.
Well,
their advance sale was like $5,000.
They
had nuts.
No, it was not less than that, I think. I don't think they had any advance sale because they ran for 3 weeks. And I remember looking at the attendance.
Yeah.
They ran 6% the first week.
Right.
8% the second week, I think 14%, a big jump.
And then they started comping all the critics, and I mean, I was like,
yeah.
So what did you think of it real quick?
I thought it could have been an interesting play. I think the fact that she was deaf, I didn't think that had to be there. I mean, it was good at one point. I think there was gratuitous nudity.
Which I'm all for, but it was like not pleasant.
It was icky.
The actress was humiliating herself.
Yeah.
To do this, among other things that you've probably read about this one, folks. But
you tell it because I can't even. Say
I'm not even gonna bother. Well, it has to
go
involving an ape that she she gets urinated on by, and then he gets sexually aroused and is about to rape her, ape rape, and so she calms him down in the usual, like, you know, high school cheerleader sort of way of, like, oh, just, you know, with no gloves.
Let me masturbate you.
Yeah, thank you, yes, which is gross. And then she has another scene. She isn't even naked in those scenes. She's making another scene where she's trying to give AIDS to a guy. Oh, please.
It's
self-masochism by the actress,
who actually wasn't all that good in anyway.
She wasn't, and her voice was annoying. She's supposed to be narrating. Quickly, we're getting now back to the season itself. Even away from the awards, away from all that.
Mm-hmm.
Best and worst of 2003-2004 Broadway season. Or off-Broadway.
Okay. My absolute favorite, and I always quantify that the best, I think, is the one you enjoy the most.
Cool.
The show I enjoyed the most was Avenue Q. I could sit through that day and night.
Isn't that joyful?
I mean, it does not suck to be on Avenue Q.
You're the second critic I've had on here in the past who just, like, loved Avenue Q and raved.
Oh, it's magnificent.
And I like it, too. I mean, I'm okay if Wicked wins on certain things, but it'd be fine if Avenue Q took it. Yeah.
Did you hear they're having a new big thing about their Tony nomination? They've changed the marquee on the theater and everything. It says, don't suck, vote Q. They're giving out buttons and all. It's hilarious. They've changed everything for the Tony nomination.
Worst.
The worst thing I saw this year was the most annoying 6 dance lessons in 6 weeks.
Was that this season?
Yes.
I keep thinking it was last season. I forgot about that one. Oh, yeah, that was bad.
I mean,
that was bad.
I don't know. I didn't
not
like,
as bad as Primate.
Well, I didn't like seeing someone jerk off a gorilla. A gorilla.
Yeah.
On stage. But I think just the annoyance of having them rolling up that carpet and rolling it out every single scene.
Oh, I remember it for the dance lesson.
Oh, that was hard. It had to be the worst directed show I've ever seen.
And, you know, if you think Frank Langella is out there in Match being very effeminate, let's not forget Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill tried not to be effeminate, though, I thought.
Oh, okay. He failed.
He really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I sat there going, oh, my God, I wish he was a lot more feminine in that role, and I wish Polly Bergen would try and be mean.
Oh, I miss Polly. She had broken her leg by that time already. I saw the understudy.
Oh, you were lucky.
She was, she was okay, but the play was like, bleh. All right.
Well, it's good community theater fare.
Well,
you'll be seeing it on Long Island soon.
I know. Well, no, you know what? The Broad Hollow's getting good. They don't do always that kind of crap anymore.
No, but there are other community theaters that won't.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, no crap here. When I say, oh, what a terrible segue. Jeff Goodman, I want to thank you so much for what that segue was. Well, no, a non-crappy show, if you want to see it, is called Two on the Isle, and it's on Manhattan Cable Television. Every other week, I don't know the exact end time, but go to MNN.com to find out. We think it's Tuesday nights at 10 on Channel 57, but I can't be sure. Just check MNN.com. Jeff Goodman, I want to thank you so much for coming to the neighborhood today.
Have Always a pleasure to be here, Dave.
Wonderful, wonderful to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Before you go to the box office, before you spend your hard-earned money on a Broadway show, do the research. With theater tickets topping $100, why not invest the time to see if you want to see it? Read Performing Arts Insider, your guide to all of New York theater, with timely listings, reviews, rumors, everything you need to know before you go. Performing Arts Insider. Single issues and subscriptions available from TotalTheater.com or call 516-295-1511. You know who's never eaten at the Tandoor Grill? Osama bin Laden. And you want to know why? Two reasons. One, he's an idiot. He doesn't realize how tasty their appetizers, main courses, and Indian breads can be. Two, he must be living in a cave, because for months I've been telling people 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center with a menu at TandoorGrill.com. Osama doesn't even know you can get 10% off by mentioning Days Gone By. And you know what? Don't even tell him about the Tandoor Grill. He'll never know it's India-licious. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, final minutes of this, our 76th episode, titled, appropriately enough, The Spirit of 76. But that number also comes with a sad irony this week. Just so happens we all lost someone in the comedy family a few days ago who was 76 years old. It's always a little shocking when a celebrity dies, but we tend to take writers and musicians and maybe filmmakers a little more personally because we respond so personally to their work. They've reached us in some way, given us precious memories, even more so sometimes than family and friends, especially since their work enters the collective consciousness and becomes part of what we talk about with family, with friends, with co-workers. But I think it's fair to include, alongside movie makers and authors and pop stars, comedians, a really good laugh, an hilarious evening at a comedy club or at home watching Comedy Central. It's one of those positive life experiences that help make all the grim and mundane stuff more bearable. In that spirit, then, let's bid farewell to a strong and funny comedian who joined the Laugh Track Invisible last Sunday, Alan King. He died of lung cancer, which I didn't know until the obits came out. I think he was born smoking a cigar, but I'm not sure if that was connected. Usually it's cigarettes that are more inclined to do that kind of damage. Anyway, King was from that era. I don't even have to explain it. You know what era I'm talking about. The whole Borscht Belt, Catskills, early television Friars Club scene. And Alan King is one of the first names you think of. There's Jackie Mason, Buddy Hackett, Freddie Roman, a little later than Burl and Jessel. His heyday was more around the time of Carl Reiner and early Joan Rivers. And there was always something forbidding about King. He wasn't warm and fuzzy like Myron Cohen. He didn't have the glee, the let's-have-fun spirit of, say, Sandy Baron or Mousy Lawrence. He was prickly. He was pissed off about stuff, and was in that kind of rich boss who smokes a cigar and pays you half what you're worth but gives you a nice bonus kind of a way. In fact, King was going nowhere as a comic for several years, telling old punchlines in a fairly old way, until he had a revelation. In the late 1950s, by watching Danny Thomas, King said in a 1991 interview, quote, "Danny actually talked to his audience. I realized I never did. I talked at them, around them, over them, but not to them. I felt the response they had for him. So I said to myself, this guy is doing something, and I better start doing it," unquote. And while Alan King never became what you would call sweet and cuddly, the material changed. He physically moved from Manhattan to Forest Hills and a more suburban lifestyle, and at that point, his complaints and observations absolutely hit home with his middle-class, often Jewish, upscale, mobile, but still with shtetl roots audience. And give him this, because he did have that strong, dominant personality and abiding sense of humor, he never did go out of style. Most of the Catskills comedians had to languish commercially for 20 years before being revived and appreciated again. King never had that problem. He was doing movies, he was at Westbury Music Fair every year, he was always one of the go-to guys to host a roast. I remember my parents had a copy of his best-selling book, Help, I'm a Prisoner in a Chinese Bakery. And several times we all watched that special he did on HBO, must have been in the early or mid-1980s. Sharp, funny, barbed. I wish I had some sound clips to play here, but I'll never forget two bits that he did that had us on the floor. And if a comedian gives you a bit that you still remember and laugh about 10 years after you see it, he's probably one for the pantheon. Now, the first is King's story, and I'll bet it's true, of when he went for some kind of operation, maybe kidney or liver or hernia, and he got so tired of sitting in the hospital day after day with this chirpy, infantilizing nurse bringing him apple juice. And he is begging her, any other kind of juice, grapefruit, orange, tomato. No, every day, 5 times a day, apple juice. So finally, he gets so tired of this. He switches to containers. He puts the apple juice in his specimen jar, and, well, you can imagine what he did in the juice cup. The nurse comes back, looks at his urine sample, and says, oh my, we're looking very cloudy today. And King says, really? Maybe I'd better run it through again. He drinks it, and she faints on the spot. It's amusing when I tell it, but that's the intangible genius of great comedy. When he told it, you were holding your own bladder, you were laughing so hard. And I also remember a bit King did about obituaries, of all things, and it was this whole spiel of how women get the last laugh on men because they live longer. Marriage is actually dangerous to men. And if you don't believe it, go into any newspaper obituary column, and you'll find a dozen men maybe three or four women. And 90% of the time for men, you see these four words. He leaves his wife. And King just went through the whole obituary page, stabbing at it with his cigar. He leaves his wife! And of course, the greatest irony is that Alan King married his own wife, Jeanette, in 1947, and he leaves his wife! She was the one who informed the papers that he had passed on. Now, I never got to see King in person doing stand-up, although I am happy to say that I saw his last theatrical endeavor. He starred off-Broadway 2 years ago in what was almost a one-man show called Mr. Goldwyn. King played Samuel Goldwyn, the language-mangling movie mogul. It was a delightful show, and an absolute pleasure watching Alan King playing Goldwyn, but also himself, or at least his showbiz persona. Funny, sarcastic, off-putting, yet captivating, broad, but full of conviction and vitality. And so, it's a loss for the world of comedy this week. The King is dead. Long live Alan King. Now that about wraps up this edition of Dave's Gone By, which has been brought to you by Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your printing possibilities, the Tondora Grill in Rockville Center for all your curry cravings, and our sponsor, Berkshire Financial Group, for your bankering hankerings. Oh, and hey, make sure you keep your radio dial on or around WGBB all weekend long so you can listen to three other cool shows. Bonnie D. Graham hosting Long Island's Dating Fridays at 6, the Mr. Red Man Music Show Saturday night 7:30 to 9, and my good friend Joe Salzone Sunday nights 7 and 11. I want to thank my special guest, Jeff Goodman, for being so funny and lively and interesting as always. And thank you also to my beloved wife, Joyce, who's all those adjectives and a thousand more. And thank all of you out there for listening. I hope you had a great time. And do keep it here every Thursday night. Especially the next 2 or 3 weeks, because I have a very special guest coming up. Easily the most famous guest I've ever had on this show. This is a biggie, and that's happening real soon, and it's definite. So all I can say now is tune in next week, May 20th, at 7 p.m. for our 77th episode. Until then, don't miss your Days Going By. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Keep your heads on straight. And gone by.
I'll go my way and jump the hedges first. Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I will watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. Against the blue ocean, against the tomorrow sky. And I will walk and talk and God and go away with spring. I never, ever, ever, ever get so old again. Sweet thing. Yeah, 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 that I ever felt the pain. And I will walk and talk and God is all wet with rain. And never, ever, 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 ever get so old again. Sweet thing.